Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love. I'm here today with my special co-host, Margot Mateus, who was a past guest on our show. Welcome, Margot. Thank you for being on the show.
Hi, David. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you so much.
Wow. Yeah, we had a great experience with you on our show quite a while back, and I'm so glad to have you as our co-host today. And we're actually interviewing one of the founders of BBS Radio, producer Don Newsome. Excuse me, we had his brother Doug on here quite a while back too, who was an excellent guest. But first, I just want you to, you know, introduce yourself, Margo, for people who don't know you. I know a lot of people do know you from our network, but you're a very experienced public speaker and an author, and you have a lot of experience in transmediumship and a lot of skills, psychic abilities, and you bring a lot to the table and a lot of great information. So,
well thank you. It's so interesting. Like everyone else, I'm evolving. I used to be an investigative reporter way back when. That was how I grew up. And then I transitioned into public relations, and then God decided to take me out of all that and make me a psychic. So I rely on all of you to give me validation all the time. Like, yeah, I guess I really should be doing this, but we are all being called to do our true purposes. And sometimes that transition is easy, and sometimes we need a lot of support to get there. So I really, really love your show. And the kind of support that you provide for people like us, and validation and a platform, and just a wonderful worldwide community. So thank you. It's always wonderful to be here with you.
Thank you so much. Okay, well, let's introduce Don Newsome, founder of BBS Radio. Welcome, Don.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thank you for welcoming me to your program. It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Honor to have you. I mean, you're the... You are BBS Radio. We all are, but...
Well, I'm the baby, but I don't know if I'm all BBS Radio. I'm definitely a baby.
Well, you provided the space for all of these radio shows. Most of them I don't even know, but I've been with you for... Me and Lana have been with you for at least 2 years now, I think, almost.
But so, we've known each other a lifetime. Maybe longer. Lifetimes. We've known each other a lifetime. It just feels that way.
Absolutely.
You're a part of us as we're a part of you. I feel that. It resonates with me wonderfully.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure having you with us on this network. It's information that many people have a hard time putting out there because it's going to get them in trouble, or it's going to get them fired from work, or their spouse or their family members are going to get rid of them if they speak too loudly, or they're going to have the cops called on them because they're... A lot of people find networks like ours that allow them to really express themselves without censorship, without bias, without... It's really radio done right, and it allows them to shine with their information. And to me, we're in an information age. And the more we can get out there, the better we can get it out there, really is the icing on the cake. And that's what we want to do, provide information of many varieties. Again, like a coat of many colors, many flavors to the one voice. And we want them all. I don't want them all to agree with me. I'd rather they all didn't. So it's really, to me, it's a collaborative effort of voices that are about change, and they want to see profound change, and they're willing to step up to the plate and be a part of that change. So I love it. I get to be in on the action without being the action. I love it.
Absolutely.
That's what it's like for me as well.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's sort of what it's like for me too, just being here and allowing the space for other people to take the stage and present their information, stuff that I've never heard before, and I don't mind that. I love hearing it, and I'm sure you do as well. And it's been great. It's been a great time. So maybe I'll let Margo. This is kind of tricky because we've got three people in three different places, so maybe I'll just hand it over to Margo and let Margo have the mic for a minute.
Well, you're so perfect. We're always in tune, David, because I was just thinking the same thing. I was like, I have some questions that I want to ask him. So I love how spirit works when it does that. So what I want to ask you, and one thing that I don't know, like I said, that David does know is that I used to be an investigative reporter, so I'm very curious and I ask a lot of questions. And I want to ask you, like, what is your deepest yearning, Don, as the co-creator of this? Where do you see this going? Like, what do you, you've got this platform created, you have people coming together all over the world. I see that you're based in Paradise, California, which is great. I'm a Californian as well. So what is yearning inside of you to expand or change or grow or move into for the next phase of BBS?
That's a great question. So when we were younger, from our late teens up until our early 40s, we were, well, your basic money raisers. We would put together a bunch of people that had some great ideas, and we would come up with our friends that would put up the money, and then we would take a piece of the deal, and we would step on board as directors or officers, management, and we'd sit on board until the investors felt safe. We'd continue to help raise funding, seed funding, until such time these companies were successful. And that's what we did. From the time we were young lads, oddly enough, we've never worked for anybody else except in high school. We worked at McDonald's for a summer and berry picking for a couple summers. Once we got out, it was really working a little with our father, starting these enterprises with entrepreneurs and helping them acquire not only the money, but Doug and I would take on many roles. Literally, you'd have to do it all until you start growing and the money starts flowing. Whereas with BBS Radio, this is the first time we've ever started an enterprise that was never meant to be anything. It was meant to be a hobby, a passion, just a scream, a loud voice. We will not go quietly into that good night, sir. And I turned that passion into a corporation purely out of necessity, 10 years ago, because we were working with another company, Peter Lamas Products, prior to this. And certain things happen, and we weren't able to continue, and the company had to obtain new sources of funding, which was, again, through people we knew. But we had to step off, and it left us without any income. So, you know, my twin brother and I came together and said, gee, we're in a pickle. We've worked for all these other companies our lives, raising their fund money, their initial funding, their continuous funding, and helping them establish their paperwork and their paper trails to go public. And we would actually work with the brokers, the underwriters, the lawyers, the accountants, and we knew how to do all the paperwork from A to Z usually. It's changed a lot now over 10 years, but back then we knew our way around the paperwork and the people and how to put it all together, and we did it many times for technology, mining company, several mining companies, a couple technology companies, oil companies, product companies, personal care product company, and now BBS Radio is really something we started off the cuff, but the beauty is we were the ones who started it. Every other time when we, quote, quote, started a project, we weren't the ones with the idea. We never said, oh, this is our deal. Let's make it work. It was always other people coming to us with their deal, and we would help them find their way around and the funding, and we took our pound of flesh, right? And we'd stay with them for years. Whereas in this particular instance, we were at the helm. There was nobody else around. We didn't really know what we were doing, and we still don't. So for all you people out there that think we know what we're doing, you're fooling yourself.
Same here.
Same here.
You know, no. Before us, there was no remotely engineered internet talk radio. We were one of the first two companies I know of that ever put together a system, and I still don't know what I'm doing. We kind of play it a little more organic here. We want it to grow and flow and be the best it can be. You know, we're kind of gun shy of working with people these days. And swimming with, you know, some of those sharks has left us with some severe bites. And it's hard going swim again when you're missing part of your leg.
I can agree with you. I've had many businesses and I've had many people bring up great ideas with me, all kinds of ideas, money-making schemes. I've been involved in many money-making operations and businesses, tried many things. As a private investigator, I've come up against some of the best con artists in the world, figuratively, if you don't mind me saying that. I feel like I've seen a lot. I'm not sure I've seen it all. But anyhow, I don't have a plan per se, a formulated plan. I'm doing like you do. Just as we, Margo and I, you know, and you and I, the three of us came together just now and created this show, which is going wonderfully. So
thank you. Thank you for that.
If you don't mind, can I just jump in here again? Sure. The reporter in me. Can you give us some stats on the reach and penetration that you're getting right now with your network?
Sure, absolutely.
Our show is doing quite well. I'm impressed with the statistics I've seen. But
some of them will do, really. They're going to see monthly totals of up over 100,000. It's only a handful. We have about 95 shows. When I say one handful or less, I mean it. Okay. They're rarities. But there are a couple dozen, let's say, that are running in and around 40,000 to 80,000. And then the general average would be somewhere around 18,000, 20,000 a month. But I would say they would range anywhere from 4,000 to 5,000 a month on up.
Yeah. Our podcast gets carried by other radio networks, and it gets downloaded to other radio networks. And I understand where we could be getting over 100,000, maybe. I don't know what we're getting for statistics directly on BBS Radio, but I know it gets carried by many other networks that have, you know, 10,000 listeners a month on each one. So it's really hard to know.
Right. And it's hard to discern what exactly the listener is. See, because we got to, in a lot of ways, we, with our statistical system, we try to break it all out so that people have much more data than they probably want. It's a lot of the companies out there, they'll give you a page and it'll say, okay, you had 10,000 listeners or 15,000 listeners. And it'll say, okay, here's your live listeners and here's your downloaders or podcasters.
You affiliates.
Total, sure. And then you have no way of testing that. So you can't go in there, click a button, click on a banner, click on a graphic, click on a player, and see that number change. You cannot do that with their systems for the most part. You can with ours. It's as accurate as we can possibly make it. We don't want people fooling themselves nor us. We don't really care what your stats are. We just like great radio, but a lot of people seem to want accurate stats. Well, then we give you accuracy, and we try not to confuse things. These other radio networks would give a page out and it would say, okay, you got 10,000 listeners, right? And when we find out or we talk to them, we realize that they're incorrect calculating what a listener is. They're just incorrect. Well, when we talk to them and we worked with some of them and they realized, oh, gee, it's only about maybe 5% or 1% of what the real total is. I can't go to these people and say they only had 50 or 5.
Right.
So the lie has to continue or they lose all of their hosts all at once. You think they're going to instantly become honest overnight? No. So that's what's happened to many of them. And that's because the internet didn't know what it was talking about originally, and a lot of bragging. And you see that even now with a lot of the social networks.
Found that as a private investigator that people often preferred the lies over the truth. Would you say that, Margo? I don't know. I hate to be cynical, but...
Yeah, I think there is a great desire in our world to go into the matrix and take the pill. And
yeah, we like the dream
steak
pill.
Steak is a steak. And, you know, it just... Yeah, I mean, we struggle with cognitive dissonance so much in this world, and we don't know how to deal with it. So we have to choose one paradigm or the other, or we think we do, right? And so people are going to always choose the paradigm that makes them feel the most secure. So yeah. I think, you know, choosing the lie is definitely a prevailing paradigm. As tragic
we like
as
that
it
on
is.
All levels sometimes. I think I see this on all levels, that we sort of like that dream pill. I don't, and I've seen that all my life, and my higher power talks about ambiguousness, which is what Don was just talking about with statistics. And he came up with a word once that Lana and I were trying to figure out that entered my mind, and it was called making things disambiguous, which is really interesting because disambiguous isn't even really a word in the Oxford Dictionary or any of the dictionaries. So what is disambiguous? It means making things less ambiguous. And that's life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, what I love about what Don is talking about is it's really the sort of anti like you said, if it's not mainstream, it's on PBS radio.
PBS is very unconventional and not mainstream for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I work for radio stations, and my actually, you know, my first job was as a radio announcer, and I've done that again for other radio stations as a news announcer and again as a newspaper reporter. But, you know, in radio, you know, they send out these media packets and all that stuff, and they talk about this and you know, how much penetration. Yeah, and he's already laughing.
Yeah, Margo, you
good.
Know, those packages and things, I have to laugh because I've seen them. And the contracts and the packages and the high-pressure sales, and they come and get you, and then they nickel and dime you on every aspect.
I was as a radio salesperson, actually, in addition to being a newscaster. And, you know, they sent me to radio training school in Tulsa, Oklahoma, when I was like 16 and a half, and I graduated high school at 15, and so I was trying to do something, And they just, you know, just beat us up to death with rejection. And after the third day, the guy said, you can rip up the rest of your training manual and throw it at me because, you know, you've made it through the lies and the obfuscations and the rejections that the rest of you have possibly what it takes to do this. But, you know, that was my big disconnect, and it's always been my disconnect. And obviously it's yours as well, Don, is actually saying something that you know is not supported by real truth. And I love how here in your format, you're being really honest and saying, look, this is what we have. This is what we provide. Sometimes this is what we reach. Sometimes it's not. But either way, it's a powerful tool for new age thinkers and new thinkers of any ilk to broadcast their message and to reach audiences that may otherwise not be able to find them. So
exactly.
You.
Exactly. Well, thank you. You know, I appreciate that.
Okay, Margo, you are, I'm sorry. I just wanted to let people know you're actually a marketing, you call yourself a marketing guru, don't you?
Yeah,
I'm not a guru, but.
Yeah, I'm actually known as the media relations maven
internationally.
And I have a very strong background in marketing. I was a copywriter and marketer for many, many years. And then I transitioned into public relations. And worked for the world's largest PR firm and have my own firms and things like that. So, yeah, so marketing is just in my blood and always has been, award-winning copywriter and that kind of stuff. So I love marketing. But the thing I hate about marketing is the BS. So
more in marketing than most.
It's like having a sifter, you know, you kind of try to let all the BS fall through and then you're like, is there anything left? Well, sometimes there is, sometimes there's not, but absolutely. But it was interesting because as I'm sitting here, you know, the other thing that I do, and this is how David and I met, Don, is I have a really cool product called the Career Cards. And it's the only oracle of its kind in the world. It's very comprehensive, gives you action blocks, action cards, block cards, and then 70 career cards that talk about life, purpose, whatever. And I'm sitting here playing with them for you. And I've done, obviously, readings on David's show for people. Wow. But you keep getting this card called Angel on Assignment. And I did want to talk about that at some point, so I don't want to stop the conversation
Intriguing.
Now. But it's very interesting because I think it'll really resonate with who you are. And you also got the Entertainer card, which is really profound as well. So, I do combine the marketing and the intuitive aspects because it's a different vibration. Can I just read to you, David, is this okay if I just kind of read him a couple paragraphs from the Angel on Assignment card for him? Is that all right?
Absolutely. Why don't you tell us about your cards and maybe your book real quick and your website?
Sure. So the career cards came into being because as a corporate coach, again, I kind of evolved from doing newspaper investigative journalism for 8 years. Then, as they say, crossed over to the dark side and became a public relations person and decided I wanted to get paid, you know, for all the work I was doing and all the writing I was doing. So I stayed in for that. And then I started transitioning into being an executive coach. And so when I would meet with these really high-profile executives, they all said, this is not what I want to do, but I don't know what I want to do. And so I realized that there was no tangible, really comprehensive tool that they could use that would literally hit them over the head and say, this is what you're supposed to do, and this is who you are. And so over the last 3 years, I've created the Career Cards. It's a 220-page book, 88 cards. And again, I call it the most comprehensive oracle in the world because you've got these 70 cards that tell you about various jobs, professions, industries, people, places, relationships, things like that. And then there's action cards that tell you exactly what to do. And then block cards that reveal whatever obstacle or block is in the way. So it's really comprehensive to get you in and out of any situation and really give you a very full view. So it comes with this full book and it's got tabs and 220-page book. But the angel on assignment card, which is the first one that you got, is it says, angels on assignment understand that they will always be shuffled around the chessboard of life, being put into position to fulfill a greater plan. You are not too attached to the work you do, for you know that in many ways, your life is not totally your own. The saying, if you want to make God laugh, make plans, is especially true for you. No matter what you do, things always seem to turn out differently than you expected. While others claim...
you're hitting a home run 100% right now.
Exactly. While others cling to family, friends, jobs, and institutions to bring them security, your security is within. You know that your universal manager is always with you and that you will be provided for, often in unexpected and synchronistic ways.
You're right on. You're right on. I've never feared anything like that. Only because somehow internally, inside me, I know that things are always going to work out. You know, I'm always going to be provided for. I'm never going to.
Things are always going to work.
Always going to work. I just, yeah.
You got it. It says the universe is working in your life right now to bless you and others at the same time. Understand that you will always be cared for and that you should never feel like a failure or less than in any way. You agreed to lend talents, love, and experience to the world. In exchange, you will always be taken care of. You need only show up for your next assignment.
I love it. I love it. Powerful. Well said. Well met.
And that's really, really, and I this is popping up too. Entertainer card. Just a little bit about this. Again, this is, I think, we'll find great validation for you, Dawn. The universe is letting you know that you truly are an entertainer, and this is your life's calling. You are gifted with the ability to entertain, uplift, and inspire others. You are fun and creative, and love to laugh at yourself and others' antics. You are sensitive, but do not allow your sensitivity to bring you down. Entertainers change the world by interpreting universal truths in a way that inspires and awakens others.
Wow, you got some great copy there. That is smoking hot stuff.
Got some nice messages.
Oh yeah, loving that.
And you know, we've had some great life coaches on our show. We've had Lynn Rose and Dr. John DeMartini, and we're going to have some more. And Margo's right up there, very inspirational with her stuff.
Excellent. Really is. Yes.
Well, thank you. But see, that's what the career cards were coming up with. And and so that's really kind of a confirmation of who and what you are when you're saying, you know, you're organic, you trust the flow, you're opening up to universal source and bringing new people in and allowing this to grow on its own. As if it's already guided.
Right. It's got a plan and it involves me, but there's a lot more to it. And I want to see what that is. I'm as curious as everybody else.
Absolutely.
Same here. Yeah. I met you on Alexandra's show, I think originally, and that was many years ago. And she has quite a big show. I don't hear from her as much as I used to, but was she still there doing her thing? And way back, you know, you were just, it's been a plan that was formed and it's still moving and it's still growing and I'm just with you in it. And, I think there is some divine intelligence in the universe and we're just playing our role in really making it happen, but it's working through us. And it's an interaction between the spirit world and the physical world and the connections that we establish. And it's a whole divine plan. the great work. I don't know, but I guess it's sort of a mutual understanding of it here. So.
I just wanted to bring this up. The helper card came up for you, David, when you were talking. And I think Don is just going to be blown away by this too. And anyone who's ever met you could not agree more that this is your essence. And you got the divine helper. And the Divine Helper says, the universe works through me to provide love, assistance, and guidance whenever help is needed. And it says, as a Divine Helper, you care about everyone. You cannot stand to see anyone or anything suffer. Even the slightest suffering pains you. Empathy is your birthright. You are by far the most compassionate and caring of all people on earth. You have an enormous capacity for love and giving, performing acts of kindness wherever you go. When people encounter you, they instantly feel safe and warm, as if they have been enveloped in a soft and gentle hug. As a helper, you make your way through the world looking for ways to aid others. Life is constantly shifting, series and situations and people who come your way for help. So that's totally you, I think.
I think it is.
Wow.
Totally, David.
Wow. Well, that's a nice thing to hear. I agree. I tend to be maybe overly sensitive and empathic, and you know, the world's pain does seem to hit me sometimes pretty hard when I see things, and I don't like it. And I do, you know, my career has worked with federal agents and still do, and all kinds of different people. And I tend to have a bit of a long legal background in the court system, and I tend to use that at times when I encounter situations that are difficult. And so I'm still dealing with the best way to deal with life based on my experiences. And I'm always encountering new situations and trying to come up with new strategies and better ways of dealing with them. But I am here to support. And you know, and I think the gods or the higher powers are here to support me in supporting others. So
absolutely.
And I think this shift is happening, and things, I don't know what the future brings. Margot knows better than I do, for sure, but it doesn't matter. We need to just be part of the change and maintain our integrity and our focus. Yes. I mean, it doesn't matter whether there's a new world order coming down on us.
Doesn't matter at all. Exactly.
Now, we're all talking about truth, and we assume that truth is a certain thing. And then you have somebody like Donald Trump, who's on the news.
We have our own truth, though, don't we?
Uh-huh.
Right.
I'm not going to touch that one. But
it's stupefying to me. I want to know what they're putting in these people's brains or in their water supply or in his stupid hats. That's wiring them to some other completely ridiculous paradigm.
They want somebody who's going to say to the established order, F you. I think that's really why they're clamoring around him. He's a guy who's going to say F you to the established order, even though he's part of it.
Established order. Right. He's the billionaire elite, Wall Street ruler elite. So how is it that people, you know, who are blue collar workers who make minimum wage are rallying behind him, thinking that what he is saying is true? It fails logic.
It's all failed me for a while.
At least with Sarah Palin, you know, people were thinking with the wrong side of their heads.
Right. At least I got
with her $150,000 wardrobe. And I mean, again, I didn't a puppet and, you know, slap on the sex appeal and do that. So I understand that. I didn't approve of it, obviously, but I understand it. But Trump is so absolutely repugnant in every conceivable category.
But isn't that sort of part of his act, though? Part of his, you know, just like, you're fired. I mean, his famous words. I mean, that's kind of Trump follow up. And that's part of his role, his acting role almost. You know, to be that
Sure, he's one of the best actors there is. I mean, he's learned to play the audience and the news.
Yeah.
He knows who controls the media. He knows how they're played and who pulls their strings and what they can and cannot say and do. And he knows how to magically play that. And he will. He's pretty masterful at that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, look at Alex Jones. People love Alex Jones, and there was Howard Stern and, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm not that way. I like what I like, and I like the way I do things. And some people like that sort of, you know, you're fired sort of angry sort of.
You know, if I were to vote, it would be probably Bernie. only because I think he's the only guy who really is for the little guy. He really wants to see justice, real justice. I don't know about the rest. I mean,
he's been consistent in his message for 40 years. He's the only one that really has his eyes open.
Right,
to what's really going on in this world and the oligarchy that we suffer under, and just so many of the inequities and the injustices. Sure.
We've had, I don't get too political, but we've had a few political figures on our show, and I enjoyed them. You know, we talked about gun ownership and gun control with Senator Michael Brown, and, you know, the Second Amendment was really, I don't know how many people like to admit this, but it was founded on the American Revolution and the idea that we may have a government takeover or a dictator taking over us, and we need to be armed and bear arms to fight back. And I don't think that's what anyone should do anyhow, but I'm just saying, I think that was the idea
that
behind
the
Second
Amendment. We know that was the idea. That's almost, you're right on.
They had single muskets, right? I mean, you know, or simple shotguns. So it wasn't, you didn't have these automatic rifles. And the government in those days didn't have massive tanks and, you know, EMF waves. I mean, all the things that they're actually doing to control us already. It's not through the form of a bullet.
So how far do you go, right, Margo? I mean, does everybody have nuclear weapons? Should everybody have a nuclear weapon in their house ready to launch? You know,
exactly.
I mean, where do we go with this? You know, it does get kind of crazy.
Switzerland, correct? It's either Sweden or Switzerland. Every home is issued a gun.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Switzerland.
Sure. By the government. And they have, like, zero gun violence. Like, there's nothing that happens.
But it's also cold there, remote in the mountains, and a lot of people live in more secluded areas, know each other. It's still got that kind of a town-like feeling. I've been through those areas. It's quite different type of an understanding. But then maybe it's because they are armed.
Hey, I grew up, I went to school in Vermont. They have no gun laws in Vermont, I don't think, still. So, you know.
Yeah. It would be a sad day if they just federally pulled everybody's ability to protect themselves and arm themselves. That would be a sad day. But I'm sure we're a long way from that. And they probably want to put some curbage on some of the violence through automatic weapons and so on. And I think they're going to.
Well, violence, you know, I don't know. When I did police training, the police were generally not worried about guns as much as knives, because when you got in close quarters, somebody could kill you much faster with a knife than with a gun, than you could get your gun out to defend yourself. And in history, we didn't always have guns. Wars were fought with knives and swords and shields and many other things, even fist fighting and sticks. So I don't know. I think it's a human behavioral issue, even money, the way we use money. Money is also a concept. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'd be better. I don't think we really need guns or money, really, but we have them. So it's really up to us to decide how we use these things or not use them. So,
a time in our evolution where we have maybe, let's say, a governing council that doesn't tell us what we do, but is there to bring justice when there's disputes, like an arbitrary council, an arbitration council, global arbitration councils. And maybe, you know, as we get to those kind of understandings and peace does reign, we can do away with a lot of these things. I still find, if I were to move to some of these war-torn areas, I'd want to be strapped.
Yeah.
I could be.
Yeah, if I were in Florida, you'd want to maybe own a gun. Here, maybe not. In Australia, I don't know. Hey, Margo, let me just pose this one to you. I think being in the law system, and I still work quite a bit in the law system here, too, in Australia, I feel that we run to politicians and we run to lawyers and we run to the court systems with our issues, and I still do this myself at times, to resolve things for us. We're actually giving away our power. We're not making decisions and choices for ourselves, and we're not using the power of choice. I mean, how do you feel about that?
Well, I agree with you. I think it was a much simpler world when you could just deal with a person and the situation on your own. You know, if you had a problem with your neighbor, I hate to say it, but fisticuffs was a lot more popular and prevalent, I think, in the old days. And, you know, there might be a shove, there might be some powerful words exchanged. But there was a common sense, I think, that this is right and this is right, and you've crossed the line, and now you're rightfully raising my anger at you and getting my ire up, and something must be done to rectify this. And I think we've gotten away from that concept of accountability in our society and in our homes, and certainly in our government. Governments aren't accountable to anything, right? I mean,
it's like giving away our power and giving away responsibility to others to make the decisions for us.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so I don't think it's a good system, and I don't think you should have Congress policing itself and giving itself raises and shut down the government. And people really need to – we need to be giving them raises. We need to be giving them paid minimum wage and have them earn 50 cents more to do this job just like we do, you know.
Good word.
Absolutely.
The law of one should prevail. The law of oneness is the only law that really matters, because all other laws come out of the law of one. It's the source of it all. Once we understand that, things will get a lot easier.
Yes, they will.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so much of justice is not just. You know, we take them to a court of law, and the law is the law, and someone interprets it differently, and they go free, you know. So, yeah, justice is a big theme, and personal justice is I think really a big theme this year. I did a prediction, and you can find it on my webpage. The blog will be up at margomattis.com or on my Facebook page, which is the Career Cards or Margo Mattis Author Intuitive. And I did a whole prediction video, about 3 minutes, of what this year is about. And it really is about justice. And what
I agree.
Means, yeah, for all of us.
I saw that. Yep, I saw that card myself quite a while ago with the in a hypnosis session with David Quigley, who was on our show, a hypnosis instructor, quite a while ago. But anyhow, it looks like we're out of time. Is that right, Don?
We've just about run out of time. We're at about 55 minutes, so a few more minutes, yeah.
All right. I mean, because great conversations, great stuff, Margo. Thank you.
Phenomenal stuff.
I know about the tarot cards. I've made claims that one of my past lives was Arthur Waite. That's where you come in. Maybe we have some kind of relationship with cards back then. I don't know. I don't talk about it too much anymore, but
that's cool.
Who knows? I don't know. That's what I believe, but I don't, as far as tarot cards go, but that's one of my writing influences in this life, I think.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I love doing this stuff. I love giving readings live on air. I love taking calls. I love talking about this stuff. It just really lights me up. And Don, on behalf of everybody in this type of community who has expression and a need to communicate their truth and a desire to be heard and to share their audience, thank you for making this possible for all of us.
Thank you. What a nice thing for you to say, really, honestly. I appreciate that, Margo. We love being here. We appreciate working with people like you and being facilitators like Detective David Love, because it's all about that collaboration and what we do for each other. Because when we step over the curtain on the other side of life, it's only going to be our interaction that we have that keeps us going, because the rest is dust.
And it's just our memories that were taken with us from this life anyhow, really. So we might as well make them good ones, good memories in this life.
Absolutely. Take our friends with us.
And it's all about, for me, it's all about positive, healthy relationships. I try my best. I've had my moments, where I don't always act my best. I'm not always, but we learn from that thing and we try to do better, and it's all about the process of improvement. And it's always from this moment on, we're always creating in the present moment. We just have to keep that in mind, that we can turn this around at any time. And we just got to use the spiritual warrior and keep going and maintain our focus on what's good, and on the
absolutely
truth.
And having networks like what Don has provided is really key.
Thank you.
Giving us sustenance and strength and cohesion and a platform. Platform to join together and tell our truth.
I wouldn't want it any other way. It wouldn't be the same without you.
It's not enjoyable. It's actually not enjoyable without these relationships and without other people to do this with. And I think we've talked about this before, and we found that the meaning of life is about creating meaning, and you do that with other people. And it could be about love. It could be about many things, but it's really about creating meaning in the world and in our lives. And our relationships are vital to that end. So
Rock on. Thank you. Happy New Year. We love you. And Margo, you're in our hearts as well.
I'm really privileged to be here and share this moment with you. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
We are in the moment being happy and sharing, for sure. Yeah, thanks to Tiffany and Doug and Lana. We'll be back. We've got some interesting shows coming up. Margo will probably be with us again, I'm sure. We've got great plans. And Doug and Dawn, you'll be behind the scenes and maybe on the air again with us. Who knows? We'll see what dreams may come.
It would be a pleasure anytime.
Thank you.
Okay.
Happy New Year. So,
Happy New Year, everyone. And we'll see you next time on Universal Soul Love. Thank you for joining us.